Grace be unto you and peace from the triune God, the God who by his power and his grace has made you one of his saints for now and for eternity. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, a picture is worth a thousand words. Is there anyone here today who has never heard that proverb? Is there anyone here today who does not understand what it means? I have walked along the top of the Great Wall of China. I have stood in some of the guardhouses and looked out over the landscape. I could try and describe for you the majesty of the Great Wall. I could try and describe for you the beauty of the mountains and the valleys, but I would most certainly fail. I could share with you some of the pictures that I have from when I was there, and then you might begin to understand both the majesty of the wall as well as the beauty of the landscape. A picture is worth a thousand words. There is no better example of that truth than the holy inspired word of our God. The Bible is absolutely filled with wonderful pictures, pictures that help us to understand, pictures that help us to remember the great truths of the Christian faith. And in the Old Testament scriptures, there is no better example of that truth than the book of the prophet Isaiah. Do you want to see a picture of the seriousness of sin? All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Do you want to see a picture of God's forgiveness? Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Do you want to see a picture of the true meaning of the ministry of the Lord's Messiah, a ministry that would take him directly to the cross on Calvary's hill? He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Do you want to see a picture of the true meaning of the Messiah's empty grave on Easter morning? On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. A picture is indeed worth a thousand words, my friends. Today, as you and I gather together here in God's house for this Saint Triumphant Sunday, that proverb is proven right here in our text for today. This morning, then, let's rejoice as we study these words of our God under the theme, Isaiah's Picture of Paradise. Now, there is far more contained in this text than you and I would ever be able to discuss here this morning, so I'd like to highlight just three truths. First of all, let's see how Isaiah's picture of paradise helps us to understand the new home that the Lord God will give to us, his saints. Then let's see how Isaiah's picture of paradise helps us to understand the new life that the Lord God will give to us, his saints. And finally, let's see how Isaiah's picture of paradise helps us to understand the new relationships that the Lord God will give to us, his saints. I invite you to look at the opening words of our text. Isaiah writes, "Behold, I will create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more." Like the Apostle Peter, Isaiah's picture of paradise includes a new home for us, the saints of God. Now, personally, I am convinced that the new heavens and the new earth that God promises to create for us, his saints, will in reality be this earth, restored to the perfection of paradise. Imagine that picture in your mind, my friends. Imagine the Garden of Eden on the seventh day of creation as the saints of God, as people who have been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. We will be living on a restored earth. We will be living on a perfect earth. Included in this picture of paradise is the fact that our new home will be permeated by perfect joy and perfect delight. Think of all of the things that make you sad. Think of all of the things that keep you up at night. Think of all of the things that bring sorrow and disappointment into your heart. Think of all of the things that cause the sound of weeping and of crying in your life. Those are the former things, as Isaiah describes them, the things that will not be remembered. As the saints of the living God, we will be given a home where joy and delight are always the norm. Now look at verses 20 through 23 of our text. As you scan through those verses, look at how Isaiah's picture of paradise helps us to understand the new life that we will be given as the saints of God. In verse 20, Isaiah gives us this picture. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. Hardly a week goes by when someone does not say something like, "Pastor, don't get old. It's no fun at all." Many of us have learned from personal experience that the older we get, the more difficulties that we begin to encounter on our journey through this world. Our physical bodies begin to wear out. Our minds are not as sharp as they used to be. Why is that, my friends? What causes us to become old? What causes illness and disease to ravage our physical bodies? What causes our mind to become muddled? Ultimately, it is sin, isn't it? Sin is the root cause of all of the problems, all of the difficulties, all of the hardships that you and I have to deal with as we journey through this world. In the paradise which our Savior God has in store for us, his saints, sin and all of the effects of sin are gone, completely gone forever. That's why Isaiah's picture of paradise includes this picture of a new life, a life that includes no illness whatsoever, a life that does not allow any kind of disease, a life where death itself is swallowed up forever. Look at verses 21 through 23. Have you ever failed at anything? Have you ever disappointed someone, or have someone disappoint you? If so, then you will indeed appreciate how Isaiah's picture of paradise does include that picture of a new life, a life where all of the things that I just mentioned no longer exist, a life where you, God's saints, will only and always be blessed by the Lord, blessed in ways that we can't even begin to imagine right now. The final point included in Isaiah's picture of paradise is that God's saints will enjoy new relationships. Isaiah, first of all, focuses our attention on the new relationship that we will enjoy with our Lord. Now, you and I know that while we are here on this sinful world, we have the right, we have the privilege to approach God's eternal throne of grace at any time and for any reason. We also have the confidence of knowing that the God of heaven has promised to hear and to answer all of our prayers in the way that he knows is best for us. Why? Because we are his dearly beloved children. We are the saints of God. But try to imagine what it will be like in paradise. Actually, we don't have to try to imagine it, do we? Isaiah reveals to us how close and how complete our new relationship with the Lord will be when the Lord says to us in verse 24, "Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear." This new relationship that you will have with the Lord your God will also be perfectly reflected in your new relationships with everything, including each other as fellow saints of God. Look at the closing verse of our text. "The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, but dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord." In the paradise, on the new earth, with the new life that our Savior God will give to us, there will be no animosity. There will be no conflicts. There will be no fear whatsoever. We will live in perfect harmony with all of God's creation. We will live in perfect harmony with all of God's saints. Take a moment to savor what that will be like, my friends. No anger, no arguing, no bickering, no disagreements, no heartaches, no difficulties of any kind. Peace, harmony, joy, laughter, happiness. That will be the hallmark of our new relationships with all of God's creation, including all of God's saints. How wondrous that will be. As you and I gather together to celebrate this Saints Triumphant Sunday, there's just two more points that I'd like to bring out before I close. First of all, let Isaiah's picture of paradise remind you of what the Lord God has already granted to your loved ones, your sainted loved ones, who have already been called home to heaven. The joy and the happiness, the glory and the perfection that they are enjoying at this very moment helps to temper the sadness, the emptiness, the loneliness that we sometimes feel because they are no longer by our side. Secondly, I urge you to stay close to your dear Lord and Savior through regular use of His holy word and His holy sacrament. This is the spiritual food that God Himself has given to you to ensure you that you will always remain one of His saints. You will always remain a saved and forgiven child of God as you journey through this world. Your status as a saint in the eyes of the one and only living God, a status that was secured for you on the cross of Calvary's Hill, is what guarantees that both you and your sainted loved ones will most certainly inherit the picture of paradise that Isaiah gives to us here in our text, a picture that our Savior God will bring into reality when He returns to this earth as the King of Kings. To God be the glory. Amen.